Today's scripture readings, the first one comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, verses 1 through 15. This is a plea for deliverance from suffering and hostility. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and in our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They sneer at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let God deliver. Let God rescue the one in whom God delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me. For trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's word for God's people. God is still speaking.
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. These are the last words on the lips of Jesus, according to our Gospels of Matthew and Mark, as he cries with a loud voice and breathes his very last breaths. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Ancient words, biblical words, intimate words. Words from the psalmist, lived and breathed and moaned and shouted and whispered through the ages. In story and covenant and testament, old and new, Hebrew and Christian. With a poignancy that pierces and punctuates our very humanity. Words of forsakenness and faith that connect and challenge and carry people, congregations, and entire faith traditions in emergency rooms and hospice houses, living rooms and homeless shelters, holocausts and genocides, raging floodwaters and searing wildfires, pandemics opioid epidemics, and alcoholic families. One of the absolute cornerstones of my own faith is the liberty I know I have to lament. I give thanks to God that we have an entire book of the Bible entitled Lamentations. Tucked in between the prophetic books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the five poems of the work of art that is Lamentations grieves over the destruction of Jerusalem, military occupation, and the deportation of its leading citizens by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 586 BCE. In some of the most evocative language in the entire Bible, those poems effectively encompass the sorrows of the world. And Psalm 22, the source of that ringing lament on the lips of Jesus, is a classic example of a psalm of lament. Over one-third of the 150 psalms in our Bible are laments. That is how integral, foundational, and essential lamenting is to a life of faith. Psalms of lament are individual or communal, and sometimes both. My faith and the scriptures of our faith and the Jesus of my faith do not require me to keep on smiling and sugarcoat everything. They do not believe that there is no pain or suffering for those who love and worship God. I am not required to think I can understand or make sense of everything that happens to me, those I love, or even the church and faith I love. Forsakenness, a sense of total abandonment by God, is, thank God, not prohibited or precluded by faith, but is a point of deep connection in our faith, perhaps the very deepest connection we can possibly have. Even one whom some among us, as attested to in the letter to the Hebrews, consider the great high priest who has passed through the heavens and who in every respect has been tested as we are, the deepest possible lament and cry of forsakenness was on Jesus' lips and heart as well. For if even Jesus could cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then thanks be to God, so can we. This amazing Psalm 22, this Psalm of Lament, 31 verses in all, though we only heard the first 15 in our reading today, opens with a form of address rarely found in the biblical text, as God is referred to as my God. Not, O God, or even just God, but my God. In the psalmist's heart and cry, there is an intimacy and claiming of relationship that precedes the lament. Perhaps the very depths of the lament itself are accentuated by this prior relational intimacy between the psalmist and God. How dare you desert me, God? After all we've been through, there would be no cause for lament or for prayer at all if the psalmist had no relationship with God in the first place. Yet out of that relationship with God, founded upon, formed by, and fed by testimony and experience and scripture and prayer and worship by oneself and in community, out of that relationship with God comes the cry, at times of great suffering and sorrow, for more relationship, more connection. For the psalmist's single petition, all the way down in verse 11 out of those first 15, is for God to draw nearer. Don't be far from me. Do not be far from me. If there is a single thread that runs through virtually every experience of human suffering, it is isolation, or the perception of or fear of isolation. To be shunted aside or abandoned because of illness, physical or mental or emotional, or hunger or divorce or addiction, or aging, or criminal behavior, or because one of our own family members has experienced or is suffering in one or more of these ways. To feel as though there is no one, absolutely no one who understands you or can be with you or walk with you in your suffering. To be utterly, completely alone. Forsaken is to touch that essential humanness we all carry inside. That even the story of our beginnings called Genesis explains with God proclaiming, "It is not good that the one made of the earth creature, the human being, should be alone." Created by and for God and one another, all human suffering that hurls any human being into isolation, in effect, diminishes or erases or greatly threatens our humanity. "I am a worm and not human," said the psalmist. Such isolation elicits scorn and mockery from others. It slams us in the center of a metaphorical circle of ravenous animals, unhinges our joints, and turns our hearts to melted wax. The psalm is so amazing. It dries out our mouths, we might say like a million cotton balls, sticks our tongue to our jaw, and basically lays us in the dust of death. "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Not only are my sisters, my brothers, my parents, my friends, my neighbors so far from helping me, where? I really need to know, where are you, God? Perhaps you have been there, or one you have known or loved has been there. Perhaps you've been there once or more than once. Perhaps you feel as though that is where you are right now. In this lament from the psalm, even in the very same words of lament that spew forth from Jesus' dying mouth, we find the depths of our deepest human despair, articulated and shared, expressed and validated, honored and made holy. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For a Jesus who cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" is a Jesus who enters deeply and fully into the abyss of human suffering, physically, mentally, emotionally, existentially, even to the point of God-forsakenness, in order to transform that God-forsakenness into God's blessedness. Whether the fully human Jesus suffered not only the torturous bodily death by crucifixion, but also the complete abandonment of God at the very moment of his death, as some theologians suggest, or, as other theologians suggest, the fully human and fully divine Jesus was not actually abandoned by God at the point of his bodily death, since Jesus was God, but so fully entered into the experience of being human, including the human experience of being abandoned by God, in order to transform the divine abandonment felt by each of us. Either way, or any way any theologian or any follower of Jesus wants to slice that piece or attempt to comprehend it, Jesus died and rose and rises up again and again and again in a sharing of our very humanity, even when the depths of our despair impel us to lament God's very absence, so that our faith in this Jesus meets, answers, and meets again the psalmist's single, haunting, holy prayer of petition: "Do not be far from me. Our faith, as fulsome or faltering as it may be, our faith in this Jesus meets, whether it's face to face or over our shoulder or finding him running after us or running ahead of us or crawling or curled up alongside us. Our faith in Jesus meets up with Jesus in the hope, grace, and promise of a God who, no matter how far away she may seem to be, is always, always, always as near as our every breath. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.